This episode is sponsored by Artistic You. Artistic You is an online yarn shop that offers beautiful hand-dyed yarns. The shop is owned and operated by Marcy Allen, and she does all of the dyeing. Color palettes range from neutrals and pastels to rich jewel tones. The fibers used by Artistic You are carefully selected for their beauty and quality. You will find the all-natural yarns to be representative of the finest examples of all the wools, cashmere, and silk that make up the product line. It is the purpose of Artistic You to offer knitters and crafters the fibers and yarns they want and the quality that they expect. Find them at artisticyou.com and visit the website often to find new and exciting products. And we have a coupon code for 20% off. It's so generous. Thank you, Marcy. During the month of March, they're offering 20% off. Just use the code VERYPINK20 at checkout, and shipping is always free on orders of $35 or more. So visit the show notes for this episode for a link to Artistic You as well as the coupon code. Welcome to the Very Pink Knits podcast, the companion podcast to the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel. I'm Stacy, and I'm here with Casey.
Hi there.
Casey is the media manager here at Very Pink, and she's also producing the show. If you'd like to get your knitting question on the show, just email it to podcast@verypink.com, and please tell us where you're from. This is episode 135, and we're going to refer to the show notes and put things in there that we talk about. And if you want to see those, just go to verypink.com and click the podcast tab at the top of the page and look for episode 135. And that's where everything will be. How are you, Casey?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, we were just talking about sweater steeking. You just cut up your knitting yesterday, didn't you?
I did. It was so fun.
It was fun. It wasn't scary.
It was scary at first. My husband was scared for me. He's like, I told him, I was like, I'm going to cut the sweater. He's like, what? And then he came back later. He's like, did you cut it yet?
And so, you did a crocheted steek?
Uh-huh.
To secure the stitches? And
yeah.
Okay. You said you posted a video of this. I haven't seen the video yet.
But it's in my Instagram stories. But oh, I can repost it somewhere.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. Yeah. Was that your first cutting?
That was my first big steek. I mean, I had done the swatch and tried that, but yeah.
Because that was
a lot of knitting. It's a huge sweater.
It's bulky yarn. And you were saying that you were glad it was bulky yarn because it wasn't as scary. And I was thinking, no, I would be more afraid with bulky yarn just because it seems like bigger stitches might come unraveled more easily. But you weren't. You were brave.
I wasn't. I felt like with the bulky, I feel like, and maybe it's just because it's such a thick wool, like it's not going to go anywhere.
Right.
So even if I pulled out a stitch, it just sat there.
Yeah, that's the kind of yarn you want. You know, what's funny is this first question that we have coming up is a steeking question.
I know. I thought that was funny, too. I will go ahead and read it.
Okay.
Hi, Stacy and Casey. I need your help. After following Stacy's video on steeking, I gave it a go, followed the instructions, and then did the scariest thing I've ever done, cut my knitting. And the worst thing imaginable happened. It fell apart. The only thing I can think of is that it didn't catch my floats properly with the crochet chains. Is there any way to fix the holes that have appeared, or is it, as I feared, now ruined? Any help you could give would be gratefully received. Sarah from Swindon, England.
Okay, Sarah didn't give us a lot of background on this, but we were just talking about things not falling apart when you're steeking. And I'm going to give a little background here. Steeking isn't a very popular thing in knitting, and someone's a newer knitter, they may have never heard of it. A lot of times when you're making a sweater, especially, I think this is especially a technique used in Scandinavian sweaters, where you knit the whole thing in Fair Isle a lot of times, you knit a tube, and then to make a cardigan out of it, or to add sleeves, or V-neck, or whatever, you actually cut the knitting. And the most important thing about steeking a sweater is that you plan ahead, and you use a sticky, sticky wool yarn that, like you were saying, Casey, is something mm-hmm. that even if you drop a stitch, the stitch doesn't go anywhere because it sticks to itself so much. So nothing comes unraveled easily. I mean, you can imagine like the opposite of that would be like a silk yarn that's slippery. And if you drop a stitch, it's like a run in your pantyhose, right? It just goes and goes and goes. So that's the most important thing. Now, Sarah Sarah didn't tell us if this was something she planned for or if she was just knitting this and decided, you know, I'd like to make a cardigan out of this and then kind of, you know, decided kind of on impulse to make, to steek this without the planning ahead of time and picking the right yarn. So she said, I think the worst thing might have happened. I don't think I caught the floats when I was doing the crochet steek. Well, Casey, why don't you tell us, because I have a video on this. Tell us what you did, like what the crochet steek, because the steek is actually the verb and it's kind of the noun too. So what did you do with the crochet hook?
Oh, just making sure that the two stitches, like I went through the two stitches. Is that what you're asking?
Oh, no, I was just trying not to talk so much. I was just trying. you take some separate yarn and you poke down into the fabric and you actually create a vertical line going up the rows and on both sides so that you have this extra security of this crochet chain kind of poking through the fabric. So even if your yarn's really sticky and you have this crochet chain, it's kind of this extra bit of security so things won't unravel when you cut. Right, Casey?
Yes, correct.
And I did all the talking there. And I was trying to get us both talking. Okay. So
I wonder if she had not so sticky yarn.
That's exactly it. Because the thing I was going to say is she thinks she didn't catch the floats when she was doing the crochet steek. Mm-hmm. Not totally necessary. I mean, it shouldn't, if you're using the right yarn, it shouldn't come unraveled for any reason. And like a machine sewn steek or a crocheted steek is just kind of an extra bit of security. Like things really shouldn't come unraveled. So catching floats, not catching floats, not really that important. But the really sad thing is I think Sarah would love it if we had an answer for her of like, oh no, just do this. It's fine. It's not fine. There's no, I can't imagine there's any coming back from this unless the one thing I can imagine is that you do a machine sewn steek, which is the really the most secure thing you can do, machine sewn line up and down the sweater, and then cut again, like cut the parts that are unraveling. I mean, can you think of anything else that might save this?
No, I don't know.
You feel bad for
her. I
feel
like I need to see it.
yeah. But the parts
I feel
that
really
come
bad for her.
Yeah, the parts that have come unraveled. That's it, though. There's Anyway, Sarah, I hope that helps, and I hope you're able to do a machine sewn steek, and then cut again, and then maybe just add a wider button band to make up for the part that you had to cut off. Because you don't want, I mean, she finished a whole sweater.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Okay, next question. Finally caught up all the way through your podcast, so I know my question hasn't been answered yet. Woo.
Wow.
My preferred method of ribbing is twisted ribbing, especially one-by-one twisting ribbing for hat brims. But when I try to do German short rows in it to increase the height of the brim in front, I end up with small but still noticeable holes where my turns and GSR stitches are. I've made sure I'm working the correct versions of the stitches on the backside, regular knits for the backs of purls and purls through the back of the loop. For knits through the back loop, I haven't noticed this issue with regular ribbing. So is this just because of the combination of twisted rib and GSRs? Is there a better short row technique to use in twisted rib? Any help, ideas, suggestions, etc. are appreciated. Thanks so much, Topfer from Yakima, Washington.
Okay. I think the name is Topher. I think it's short for Christopher. not sure. That's my guess. So I haven't actually tried putting German short rows in twisted rib stitches. Just kind of a specific thing that I haven't tried yet. But my guess is that the twisted stitches may be causing the holes. But then without seeing your work, I'm guessing it could be something with the gauge or using that yarn, those needles. You might still end up with holes if you were using a regular rib. But my guess is, based on the way Topher is saying this, is that it is the German short row that is doing that. Now, my solution to this is you can still do German short rows, but make sure that you're only doing the German short row technique on a plain knit stitch, like on what would be a purl stitch on the right side of the work and not one of the twisted knit stitches. I think that is the most straightforward way to do this. And Topher is kind of into pattern designing here. And so ultimately, when you're designing, it's kind of a, you know, hit or miss, trial and error. You know, you like this part, so the next sample you knit, you save the good part and try something new with the part you didn't like. Mm-hmm. But yeah, my suggestion would be just to do the German short rows in the purl stitches on the right side of the work, or knit stitches on the wrong side of the work. Not twisted mm-hmm. stitches is my point. Mm-hmm. Do you have anything to add to this?
I have no idea.
I'm really trying to get you involved with more talking.
I know.
We're doing
okay.
Fine.
Okay. We'll see. Let's try this one. I love your podcast. They're interesting and you both make me laugh. And Stacey, your laugh is so infectious.
I have recently, like the flu.
I've recently made a few of the Ice House hats for my son and husband. The trouble with my husband's is that it seems to ride and become a pointed hat like the Conehead from SNL skits. I've tried to make it longer, but it still seems to happen. Can you suggest a method of somehow increasing the top dimensions without having to make it deeper? As when he pulls it down properly, it fits great, but as he moves around, it rides up. Valerie.
Okay, hi, Valerie.
And I have a note there.
Yeah, I have notes to myself here on this one because I went and looked up that hat, and my notes say, looking at this hat pattern, it has panels of diagonal decreases. You know, you start at the cuff and then knit up to the crown of the hat. It has panels of diagonal decreases that maintain the rib. It's kind of complicated. My guess is that the way the decreases are set up in combination with Valerie's row gauge is what's causing kind of the cone head shape. And my answer for Valerie would be, this is probably just not the pattern for you. There are thousands of patterns available on Ravelry. And this is a cool hat, but there are thousands of cool hat patterns available on Ravelry. I would just look for something, you know, instead of trying to reinvent the wheel and redesign this hat, because maintaining the rib pattern is not going to be easy. Someone mm-hmm. already figured that out and it's not working for you and your row gauge with this pattern. So just find a different hat. Look at the finished projects to make sure that no one looks like a cone head in this hat, and then give that a try.
No cone heads.
No cone heads.
Okay. Best podcast ever.
Oh, nice.
It was like getting to eavesdrop on a knitting group conversation. I only wish I'd been knitting while listening to the podcast. Of course, the knitting question segment is integral to the show's format, and the regular interview segments are so refreshing, but I would love if more knitting group segments were added to the mix. Thank you, Stephen.
So this person doesn't give a name. I think
Stephen.
I think this person is thanking Stephen for coming on the show.
Maybe.
Like a year ago. We've never done like a real knitting group conversation.
I
guess maybe when you were at Gage, when you did the Texas Yarn Crawl interview.
Yeah.
It was kind of a, yeah, we can always add stuff like that.
With our old knitting group, we'd have to like bleep out a lot of things.
With any knit, I have never been in a knitting group where things wouldn't have to be bleeped out. That is just the nature of all the knitting groups I've ever been in. But no, we have friends that can behave themselves. Like Steven is very good at behaving himself.
That's true.
Steven doesn't swear very much though.
Yeah. And our last knitting group also, I was thinking about it, turned into a serial podcast group. Like we were talking about the podcast serial more than knitting.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Actually, it's funny because the knitting group that I meet with every Saturday, we really rarely talk about knitting. We have our knitting right. with us and we look at it. Other people's knitting, but we rarely talk about knitting at all. It's always a thousand other things going on. Just when you know people for a long time, that's kind of the way it is, right?
Yeah. Well, and like before we even started recording, I asked you a basic knitting thing and we talked about a solution. So maybe we just need to do more of that kind of stuff.
We could, yes.
Okay. Next question. Hi, Stacey and Casey. Now that I'm finally able to do some non-Christmas knitting, I'm working on some cabled arm warmers called the Lady Jane Grey Gloves. It has a cable 8 front and cable 8 back cables going up the front and back of the arm and wrist. My question to you is there a reasonable way to undo a row that has the twist? It seems to just stick together, and then all of a sudden too many stitches come apart when I try to loosen the row up to unravel. Is it just a matter of going super, super slowly? Thank you for any advice. Love you, ladies, so much, and wish all the best for you and very pink, Suzanne.
Hi, Suzanne. This is funny. I like the way she worded this because I know exactly what she's talking about. When you're tinking out a row, undoing stitch by stitch because you've made a mistake somewhere, and it happens to be a cable twist row, suddenly you get to the cable. In this case, it is 8 stitches in the cable. It might actually be 16, depending on how the abbreviation was used. And so when you get to that part, you undo one stitch, but you kind of have to undo all 8 or all 16, and then you have all of these live stitches that could unravel if you don't hurry and pick them up, you know. And she's asking, if I just go really slowly, will it make a difference? And the answer is no. When you're tinking back through or unraveling a cable twist, all of those stitches are going to be live and hanging there and vulnerable all at once because they were knit out of order, and it's kind of the only way to do it. You just, what I do is I prepare myself for it. I get myself in an area where a dog isn't going to bump me, or, you know, the world can just wait a moment until I get this undone and these stitches picked up. A lot of times I'll grab a double pointed needle in a smaller size so that I can just quickly boom, 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 get those stitches picked up and then transferred onto the needles that I'm knitting from. It is a dangerous time. It's a dangerous time in knitting where you have a lot of live stitches that can do anything, you know, and we're just talking about sticky yarns. If you're using a smooth, slippery yarn, it can be a disaster.
And you hold your breath while you're doing it.
You hold your breath. You don't breathe. Yes. You sit in good light. Yeah. Nobody can bump you. No one can talk to you. You
keep
just
the
get
cats
those stitches
from jumping on the table.
Yes. The world has to stop. And then you can resume. You can resume your life when you get those stitches picked up.
Right. Okay. Hi, Stacey and Casey. I hope you had a wonderful holiday and happy new year. I'm loving the podcast as well as your knitting videos. I have two questions. My first question is about ribbing in general. When a pattern says go down a needle size, are they talking millimeters or US sizes? My second question is, when knitting a gauge swatch, how to know when it's time to change yarn? For example, a pattern says with size US 5 or 3.75 millimeters, needles, your gauge should be 16 inches blocked equals 4 inches with a lace weight yarn. I can get gauge, but with a US size 10 or 6 millimeter needle after blocking. When would you know your yarn and pattern is not working? Thank you, Melissa from Cincinnati, Ohio.
Hi, Melissa. Okay. Casey, will you read? I'm going to answer the first question. Will you read that second question again to yourself to see if you can explain it to me? Because I don't understand what she's asking there. But the first question is pretty simple. Melissa is asking, when a pattern says to go up or down on needle size, are they talking about the European size, millimeters? Or are they talking about American size that has nothing to do with any kind of measurements? It's just a size, right? And really, that is a good question because both, either, there's no standard. Of course, if a pattern is written by someone who uses millimeters in their everyday life, like someone in Europe, for example, then I'm sure they're talking about millimeters. And if a pattern is written by an American, then I'm sure they're talking about American sizes. Usually, a pattern will say, let's just say you're knitting a hat, and the hat has you using a smaller size for the ribbing and then a larger size for the crown of the hat. They'll be very clear in the pattern, like we're starting with a US 3 and then moving on to a US 4. So obviously we're talking about American sizes there. And then if it's if the pattern mostly refers to the millimeter sizes, I mean, you kind of just have to go off the designer and what how they're going to write the pattern. But if you're ever in doubt, just contact that designer on Ravelry and get a straight answer, because there are no standards for this. So do you have, can you explain the second question to me?
Well, the gauge, the pattern recommended to use size 5 needles to get gauge, but she got it using size 10 needles.
Wowee. Okay.
That's crazy. So she wants to know, when do you know your yarn and pattern are not working?
Gosh, that's
seems
huge.
Really extreme.
Well, you know, I've kind of been saying for years, it's always a good idea to use the yarn recommended in the pattern. And I hope I'm kind of getting people on board with that, because you do get the results that the pattern photo shows when you use the same yarn that they used in designing the pattern. But people have yarn in their stash and they want to use that up or whatever. I totally get that. But something tells me when we're talking about 5 US sizes different between what the pattern's calling for and what she's using to get gauge, I think the yarn might have a lot to do with it. Now, it may very well be that Melissa's using the yarn that the pattern recommends. I don't know that because she doesn't give us that information. But regardless, I'm thinking, oh, gosh, if you're getting engaged, it really, the pattern should work out okay. But I don't know. I'm thinking almost maybe typo in the pattern, too, right?
Oh, that's true. Or maybe she just is confusing the yarn. It's got to be the wrong yarn. I don't know. That's crazy.
That's a lot. You know, it is not surprising when someone has to go up or down a couple of needle sizes to get the correct gauge, because gauge is so important if you're making a garment that needs to fit. That is not unusual at all. But five mm-hmm. U.S. sizes is, that's a lot. We're that's talking lot. About what when you're looking at these needles, a size 5 is a pretty small needle. A size 10 is like for chunky yarn. That's huge.
Yeah.
They're really different. okay, well, thank you for reading that and explaining it to me, because I was confused. But yeah, she's like, when would you know your yarn and pattern are not working? Just like, well, gosh. Yeah, well, okay, I'm going to give one more piece of advice to Melissa. Contact the pattern designer and see if she's like, oh, dang, no, I meant to say that use a size 9 needle for that. You know, it could be something as simple as that, but that is a huge difference. Yes. Mm-hmm. Casey, that's all we have time for this week. Okay. I know you were about to read another question. Here I am cutting you off.
I know.
If people want to find you online and watch your steeking video.
My website is caseyknits.com. That's the letter K and the letter C. And maybe I'll post my little steeking video on my blog because it was on Instagram. So
Okay. Because Instagram stories disappear. So you're going to have to, now that I've told everybody that it exists, you're going to have to work a little harder. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
And if you want to find me online, there is, of course, the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel and verypink.com, and all my social media buttons are there. And I never use Instagram stories, so nothing ever disappears. But that is all we have time for this week. So until next week, stay warm, my friends.